Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today we're speaking with Mukund Mohan, who's the CEO of the Canvas Group, and also a fellow blogger and founder of a blog called BestEngagingCommunities.com. Today, we're going to talk about how to start a B2B community. And with Mukund's help, maybe we can answer some of that question. So, Mukund, that's the question. I know we've talked a little bit about this in the past, and Mukund was kind enough to write an article that my mom really loves called Find Your Paul and Let Him Loose. So this is where we left off in our last conversation, which is the thought around having a key influencer for all of you who have read Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point, and kind of let them loose, empower them with the tools. And I think that's part of the answer. I'm not sure that's the whole answer. And I also think from a B2B perspective, we may be missing some things. So maybe, Mukund, we want to start a little bit further back than this, right?
Sure.
What is a B2B community? Maybe you can start by trying to define that for us.
I think the three things that, to a large extent, define what a B2B community is. First, let's talk about the problems that or the challenges that B2B business organizations, if you will, that are trying to address. For example, if you are trying to be able to get feedback and get a closer connection with your customer, that typically tends to be the case for a lot of companies, which is how can we tap into the power of what our customers and our partners know about our solutions and products better than us. So if you're trying to get that connection, that typically tends to be one problem
right. That
a lot of people are facing. The second, for example, is how do you reduce the cost of supporting, managing, and servicing your customers and help customers help each other as opposed to just customers having them help themselves. So that's another area or an example of a question or a challenge that a lot of VP level executives face in terms of trying to be able to understand how to leverage the power of their ecosystem, if you will. The third challenge is more specific to, for example, the VP of marketing. With the explosion of blogs, social media, there is a fundamental change to a large extent in the ability for people to use the really traditional means of marketing to be able to get to their customers and prospects. So these are the key three challenges that we've seen that customers have consistently told us are the reasons for adoption of a B2B community. So now that I've got that figured out, if you want to define a community, it's essentially a group of people. Now, in some cases, in a B2B community, it might be a group of your customers and your partners, or it could be your suppliers, as in the example of GM.
Mm-hmm.
Give you another example, it might be, for example, one of our customers that is actually working very closely with us is InfoWorld, and for them, it is a community of IT executives, IT talent, and IT managers and directors who want to be able to connect, meet with each other, help each other understand the challenges their organizations are facing so that they can connect with each other and give them information about what they can do to make it better. So those are the typical examples of what a B2B community actually is, which is a group of people that have a similar interest and want to be able to go ahead and meet with each other and help each other out.
Okay. Yeah. No, I see that. As the publisher of the blog Best Engaging Communities, do you have an example of a B2B one, maybe other than InfoWorld? Because I think InfoWorld is kind of a form-fit community because it add water makes its own sauce, right? They already have a subscriber base. It's very easy to do. As a consulting firm or as an audit firm or a law firm or even out of the professional services realm, do you have an example of someone who's kind of on the edge who's starting to turn that corner?
Right. An example of a business-to-business community. Let me give you three specific examples. One of the customers that we're working fairly closely with is Deloitte trying to be able to put together a community of chief financial officers for being able to share legislative information and information about Sarbanes-Oxley-related regulations. So they do not have an existing list of people. What they want to be able to do is just create a community by which people can start sharing with each other information about what they're seeing in their specific companies and how it pertains to legislation overall.
Mm.
Another example might be, for example, the very interesting network and social network, if you will, that is now being built by Veritas, which was the company that was acquired by Symantec. And what they want to be able to do is to build a network and also a community of all of their customers and also their prospects to be able to share information with each other about what is it specifically about their products that they like, dislike, and what are the ways they're using it and how can they help each other. The third example I'd give you is the company that, you know, a lot of us tend to be able to think is more old school. You know, Caterpillar has actually built a community of their customers to a large extent, fundamentally with the intent of being able to have them help each other on not only Caterpillar-related questions, but also things such as what do they do about soil culture, what do they do about agricultural business metrics, and what do they do about sharing information outside of what only they have to do with Caterpillar.
Right. I could see a nice green engaging community, if I don't know if there is such a word, a green community.
Right,
that could really be beneficial there. Well, that's very interesting. The CFO one is obviously the most interesting one to me because it brings up the age-old question of can they share this information outside of their four walls, and how difficult is it to get them to do that?
That's a good question. Look about it from two different perspectives. The number one thing that we do hear as a concern from a lot of our customers is, look at it from a person that is hosting the community, which is the lack of control. What if they say, for example, if you're hosting the community for a lot of CFOs to get together, the question from the hoster's perspective is, what happens if they start saying things, for example, that we do not want to be able to have them share? And if you look at it from the community participant perspective, in this case the CFO, what if I start sharing, or what if there are competitors of mine that are on that network that I'm not comfortable sharing some of this information with? So the question is a very valid question, which is, are they comfortable sharing this information or not? The thing that we found is there are clear ways by which they could benefit from the overall best practice of sharing, and we found that most participants tend to be able to find their way through it and figure out that, you know, this much is what I can share, and here are some of the things that are proprietary to our company. But the collective wisdom of knowing a problem that has been solved by somebody before can now be something that is a best practice shared more quickly with everybody else, you know, raises the whole wisdom of the crowd, if you will.
Right. Back to the wisdoms of the crowd book. So do you give them a topic to chew on? Do you say, hey, let's talk about this particular thing? Or is it sort of, again, a little freeform jazz of them posting, hey, I have this problem, or hey, I'd like to discuss this, or here's something that I found? I mean, how does the engagement kind of come?
I think it's both. Initially, you'll find that you have to be able to go ahead and get people to, you know, there's two parts of it that we call it. One is facilitation and one is engagement.
Right.
Facilitation is ensuring that you can have some important, interesting, and relevant topics to talk about, so you have to seed some of it in. And you'll find, in more cases than not, once that initial seeding is done, the community starts to get passionate about, say, topic A, B, or C. For example, the topic that is very relevant to the CFO community to a large extent right now seems to be the revisiting of some of the 404 rules, and what is it that there is a subset of stuff that they can recommend back as a set of rules that are most valid to, for example, the members of Congress or members of the Senate to say, you know what, we've looked at all these rules, we've done it for 3, 4, 5 years with Sarbanes-Oxley, here's the subset of stuff that I think we should be able to completely and comfortably make sure that you can hold us responsible for, and here are the extraneous things that Sarbanes-Oxley makes us do. So this topic was not something that was proposed by the people that actually hosted the community. This was something that organically came in, and they said, let's try and put together a grassroots efforts to come up with, for example, a set of things that we believe is the core set that we can then take back as an association of people that have actually, you know, done this on a day-to-day kind of a basis. So to answer your question, a little bit, usually, typically, the beginning tends to be a facilitation effort. You've got to lead them to the promised land, but you'll find quickly that people start to get passionate about specific items, and then the community's effect from a critical mass perspective starts to kick in.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to change gears a little bit on you, and that is, you know, that we're discussing how to start a B2B community. So what if you wanted to kind of get going with this? What would be your advice as first steps? Would it be to, you know, watch and listen, or, you know, check out these communities and begin to follow them? What's your guidance along those lines?
The first interesting question actually is, you know, what is it that you want to build a community around?
Mm.
Typically, we found that most people tend to ask the how question very early, which is, how do we go about doing it? The what question a lot of people miss, which is, what is the goal? What is the purpose? What is the need? What need are we trying to fulfill? Besides just having a lot of people talk with each other, unless you have a specific goal in mind, which is, we want to be able to either A, increase customer loyalty, or B, we want to reduce our support costs, C, we want to make sure that customers give us feedback, Or B, for example, we want to make sure that our partners are more consistent in their methodology and capability to be able to deliver our services, so we need to keep them in sync. So once you ask the what question, so I'm assuming right now that you're a business that wants to be able to create a community, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, the first question is what, which is set up a very simple but also something which is very tangible to achieve in the short term set of objectives or mission or values. I know this tend to be fairly consistent with what you'd see with other kind of initiatives that you start, but figure out what is it that you want to do first. And I can give you a couple of examples. For example, one of the communities that we're helping, a fairly large manufacturing company based out of the Chicago area, is to be able to help them figure out how to be able to take their credit line of business, which is a pretty significant portion of the business, their customers, to try and get more information from the company to give them better support services outside of just the credit that the company provides. So figure out that what, which is what are we doing this for? Then the next question is how, right? For example, let me give you three things that would be interesting for the people listening to do. Number one would be try and actually get a little bit of a better sense for if there is a community that exists in an offline fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily online. Are there groups? Are there associations? Are there people that meet together and actually discuss this in a face-to-face fashion? That makes it all the more easier for you to be able to justify why these people can have a perennial conversation as just opposed to once a month or once a year, right? So, for example, you know, a lot of people meet. There are lots of associations. Let's assume that right now, for the purpose of our discussion, there is an association of people that are gathering once a year specifically to discuss topics within their specific industry. Now, that association already exists. The challenge of the once-a-year thing is you meet face-to-face, you have some discussions, and then there's nothing for the next, 364 days, right?
Yeah.
So the thing to be able to do is, okay, there are a bunch of topics that we also want to be able to consistently communicate and work with. How do we go about taking those offline discussions that we have and bring them onto an online and make it on an annual basis as opposed to a daily basis or a perennial basis as opposed to just once in a year type of a thing?
A disintermediation strategy almost.
Right, right. That's absolutely right. The second thing I would suggest is the how question. To answer the how question would be, the second thing that we've seen customers do is once you've figured out what is it that you want to be able to do and you've said, here's an offline strategy that is interesting, the second thing that you want to be able to do is to make sure that you can understand and engage with what are the participants' needs, what do they want to get out of it. That's the next question you typically need to answer, which is, if you're participating in this community, what do you want to get out of it? What are the key things that you think are important for you to be able to run with, right?
Sure.
So keep that participant focus. The third thing would be able to actually go ahead and put together a very small team of people that are passionate about trying to get these people to communicate and collaborate with another, and also figure out what is it that they can do to communicate in a consistent fashion, and also try and put together starting something small. And a lot of people start with something very, very small. In most cases, we've seen our customers just say, listen, I want to just be able to say, this is my goal, this is my objective, here are the set of participants, let's actually get them and then learn as we go along.
Yeah. I mean, it basically mirrors a lot of the Web 2.0 stuff, which is it needs to be highly focused, highly tailored around the customer, an open environment, very niche. You know, there's a lot of very close similarities that I see in using some of the other Web 2.0 tools, like a blog or like a podcast or something along those lines.
Absolutely. I think you're right about that one.
Great. Well, Mukund, thank you so much for your time. Again, Mukund is the CEO of Canvas Group, who's helping many other companies expand their scope and to explore communities. You can reach out to him. Mukund, why don't you give us your email address?
It's Mukund, M-U-K-U-N-D, at Canvas Group, all one word, canvas as in the painting, canvas, C-A-N-V-A-S, group.com.
And, of course, you can catch him on his blog, bestengagingcommunities.com.